Morning at the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We were discussing yesterday, you have the case where a person was a Nazir, and he was a Safek Mitzora, to be exact, Safek Mitzora Muchlat. One of the Korbanos he has to bring at the end, if there was Tzaras, if he has to bring one of the Korbanos he would have to bring, would be an Osham. The problem is you can't just bring an Osham voluntarily. So Rav Shimon had said that what he can do is he can bring an Osham and make a Tanai that if it's not needed as an Osham, it should be a Shlomim, and it will be, and then we'll combine together the various Chumras of Osham and Shlomim, and it will be eaten only for one day and one night, unlike a Shlomim. It will be eaten only by the Kohenim and only in the Azara, like an Osham, and unlike a Shlomim. But on the other hand, for example, we'll waive the chos of a shoik of it like a Shlomim and unlike an Osham, and so on and so forth. So then we were dealing with the question, now a Mitzvah also has to bring a log of oil together with his korban, and that log of oil has sprinklings are done from it. He takes the oil and sprinkles it seven times in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Interestingly, by the way, I had a discussion yesterday with somebody about where exactly does the Kohen stand in order to do those sprinklings. I always took it as a given that he stands in the Azara and sprinkles them in the direction of the Heichel, but actually, Rashi Ksavyad and Tosfos quotes from him, and I involve him in Bez, uses the expression ma'ayil minayil lefnim lahazos, that he brings them in order to sprinkle, which would imply that he actually goes into the Heichel to sprinkle them. On the other hand, Chofetz Chaim on Sifri says as a given that he stands in the Azara. So maybe that there's machlokas on the subject, or maybe that when Rashi Ksavyad and Tosfos use the expression lifnim, maybe it doesn't mean inside the Heichel, maybe it just means further into the Azara. Whatever the case, he does the seven sprinklings, then he takes some of it, applies it to the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, and puts more of it on his head, and the rest of it is shirayim that the Kohenim can eat. That would be, but again, all of that would only be if he's actually a Mitzvah. If not, then you can't do that because you're bringing a Cholin into the Azara and doing an Avodah with it. So the Gemara answered that instead what he does is he has in mind that instead it can be a Korban Nedava, following the opinion of Rav Tarfon later on in Arma Sechta, that you're able to do that, you're able to give a Nedava of oil. So we were working out exactly how you would do that without having the problem that if you do that, then you have to have the complete, you take a koimitz from it and burn it on the mizbeach, so you'd have to do that, but you'd also have to do the sprinklings, and how do you balance those things without being over on any of the things that would be involved when you're bringing the oil of the mitzvah or voluntary korban of oil. So now the Gemara continues. Now, when you have this oil, we're saying that you take the koimetz and you burn it on the mizbeach, and then we're saying now, what if it was the log of oil of a mitzvah, which does not get knitza? Then instead, we said that now you refill the bottle of oil, and no problem, because with a mitzvah you can do that. The question is, well, ikashirayim, the problem is that now, yes, you have the shirayim, which now the kohenim are going to eat, but deboy milinu, we have to refill the container before we finish, because you have to have a full log after you take the koimetz and burn it. You still have to have, in case it was the oil of a mitzvah, you still have to refill it. And the problem with that is the ikahach puter to like komets ilave, and then you have some oil over there that you did not take the komets for, because what if this mincha was in a dava, and then the kmitza is what's allowing it, and now you poured in more oil after the kmitza, and the kmitza hasn't covered it. A different girsa over here, by the way, Shita Mukubetzes, and a number of other early prints in Gemara and other things have the word, instead of milinhu to refill it, we have the word mechlinhu to eat it. The Kohenim have to eat the shirayim of it, but they can only eat if it was minchas nedava, or in this case oil of nedava. They can eat it only if a koimetz was taken out of it. But a koimetz was not taken out on behalf of all of it, because now we have to refill it in case it was the log of oil of the mitzvah. So how do we deal with that? So the Gemara answers the potik lay. Fine. What you do is you what you do is you redeem that. After you add in the rest of the oil, then you make a tanai. If you had to bring the oil for the mitzvah, then in that case this should have kedushas aguf, and it'll be part of the lug of oil for the mitzvah. And if not, if it's been a davar, then it shouldn't have kedushas aguf. It should have only kedushas damin. And then we're able to and then we're able to redeem that. Now once it had kedushas aguf, you wouldn't be able to redeem it. You can redeem animals that have kedushas aguf and develop a mum. You can't redeem things like oil that have kedushas aguf and be able to eat them. But here you would say that to begin with, if it may be that it didn't have kedushas aguf, only kedushas damim, only a monetary kedusha, and then you can redeem it, and then there's no problem that you brought chulin into the azara, because you're allowed to bring in things that you makdish into the azara, even if you're not being makdish them with kedushas aguf. So we can make it work that way. And Mefoshim discussed, Achronim discussed, why wouldn't we say that it's bottle? Why do we even have to worry about it? Why can't we say that it's bottle? In any case, the point is that we can't assume it's bottle. So we have to do that. Well, the question is, departeth lehecha. Well, exactly, where is he putting it? Igavoy, if he does it when the oil is still in the azara, no good. Kama ayo cholin la'azara. Then he's bringing cholin into the azara, because, fine, when he first said, we're adding this extra oil, and we're going to make it conditionally, kedushas aguf or kedushas damim, as the case may be, then that's fine. It's fine to bring that into the azara. But now, when we redeem it and make it cholin, now you're bringing cholin into the azara. You're causing cholin to be in the azara. And you're back to the problem. That's no good. The iavroi, and if you do it outside the azara, if salebiyotze, then whatever you take out becomes possible, because the log is kodshe kodshen, and kodshe kodshen have to stay in the azara. So why do you need to do that? So now here's where regular Rashi points out why do we first need to take the koimetz and then add the extra oil, and we have all this problem. Why don't we first do everything we need for the mitzvah, do the seven sprinklings and the application to the ear, thumb, and toe, etc., and then fill it up and then take the koimetz? Why can't we do that? Rashi says, because once we were makdish it, that it might be for the mizbeach, because after all, it might be oil of nedava, then we can't change it and downgrade it to make it for the mitzvah, because then it would come out that we're taking something that belongs on the mizbeach and ruining it b'yadayim by sprinkling it and applying it to his body parts. So therefore, we have no choice. We first have to do tzorach gavoya. We first have to do what's needed for Hashem to be offered directly to Hashem, the koimetz. And only then can we do the sprinklings and everything of the mitzvah. But then that creates this problem that we have to refill it. And the question is, what's the status of that extra oil? So the answer is la'olam gavoi. In fact, we would do it when the oil is inside the azara. The chulin, the melahavim. You're worried about chulin ba'azara? No problem, because you're not bringing chulin into the azara. It becomes chulin when you redeem it. So that's not such a problem. The issue of bringing chulin into the azara would be just that: you bring something into the azara that is chulin, but you have something which is in the azara, and then you redeem it. And then make it chulin. That's not a big deal. Tosfos compares this over here, discusses and compares this with various gemaras in other places, in Shas and Menachos and in chulin, where we see that sometimes we see that this issue of chulin ba'azara is an issue even when we're poyed or something. But Tosfos points out that there's other reasons in those cases to say that might be an issue. Tosfos also adds a point. You know, we said before, we learned yesterday, and we're going to learn soon in the next Mishnah, that we have cases where we can consider parts of a carbon like wood, like firewood for the Mizbeach. So why don't we do over here the same thing? We can redeem them, having in mind that if we didn't need to, then we'll use them as firewood. First of all, Tosfos says you're supposed to eat them. And second of all, when you have things that are mixed together, like we had before, like we're going to have in the next Mishnah, for example, about limbs of oila and limbs of chatas that were mixed together, then we'll allow you to do l'shem eitzim. But just to do all by itself and consider it l'shem eitzim, that we can't do. So we do have to do l'shem chulin. But then, so if the question is, what about chulin ba'azara? The answer is that you didn't make it chulin. It becomes chulin by itself, and therefore it's not a problem.
Okay.
Now, all of this was predicated on the idea that we're able to do a nedava of oil. So that's how we're able to do this. We're able to bring this log of oil and make the tnai that it may be needed for the mitzvah, it may be needed for nedava, etc. The question is, all this was in order to explain Reb Shimon's opinion, because we brought this case of the Nazir who became a Suffolk Mitzvah in order to bring, Abaya had brought it up in order to ask on Rava, who said that Reb Shimon will allow, so we brought it up as in connection with the Osham, because we said Reb Shimon is allowing you to take this, to bring an animal that might be an Osham, might be a Shlomim, even though that means that you're severely reducing the amount and time and the place and time and people who can eat the shlomim, because you have to treat it as an osham misafik. And Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon is saying that that's not a problem. So we see that Reb Shimon allows such things even lachatchila. So we answered, not really. Reb Shimon doesn't necessarily allow it lachatchila. Just in this case, but takune gavra, where it's necessary in order to fix up the person to make him able to enter the mikdash and eat kodshim by bringing his korbanos. So then we digress sort of to talk about the whole matter of the oil. But now the point is, now let's tie that back together. We brought that in to explain Reb Shimon's opinion. But now Reb Shimon himself holds, well, Amar Reb Shimon, Ein Misnad Ben Shemen. Reb Shimon himself is the opinion that says later on in Amar Masechta that you cannot be Menad of oil by itself. According to him, you can bring a korban mincha, sure, but there's no such thing as bringing a korban of oil by itself. So then according to Reb Shimon, how are you making this whole thing work? And the answer is, again, Tikkuni Gabra Shaini. Again, Reb Shimon would answer that it's different when you need it to fix up the person. Here you need it in order to make him not a Mechusa Kapara anymore, able to, in the future, enter the Bris Mikdash or eat Kodshim. Even Reb Shimon, who usually says you can't be Menad of oil, would allow it in this one case in order to make it possible for him to bring his Korbanos and be able to take care of the status. But as far as other cases where that's not necessary, then yes, Reb Shimon would say you can't bring oil as a Korban by itself, whereas Reb Tyfon says you could. Now let's rewind a little more. We said that this person who's a nazir and a suffolk mitzvah will bring his. The truth is that everything that we were talking about so far doesn't necessarily require him to be a nazir. For our purposes, the point is that he was a suffolk mitzvah, really. In any case, the point is that you have the other cases that Tosfos had. Meant that Tosfos had discussed at great length on Daf Ayin Vav, where the Mishnah describes various cases where a person is a Suffolk Nazir Tomei, Suffolk Mitzvah, and all kinds of complications involving that. So the Mishnah in Nazir does in fact deal with those cases, and the excerpt from the Mishnah that we quoted is part of that, but the actual din that we were talking about, the bringing the Osham and making a Tanai and all that, doesn't really depend on him being a Suffolk Nazir, doesn't really depend on him being a Nazir or not. All it requires is that he's a Suffolk Mitzvah Mochla. In any case, we said that Reb Shimon would say he brings that. Reb Shimon had said that he brings the animal and makes a tnai if it's necessary as an osham, because I'm a mitzvah, then good, it'll be an osham, and if not, then it'll be a shlomim. The question now is, Yosef Reb Chumi Kamed Ravina. Reb Chumi was sitting in front of Ravina. The Yosef Kamed Mishmed Reb Huna Bar Tachlifa. He was sitting and saying the following question in the name of Reb Huna Bar Tachlifa. Why does Reb Shimon say that? Now, the whole problem we said was that you have this animal, which might be an osham, might be a shlomim, and that involves possibly mevi'in kodshim leveis apsul, because if this is not in fact a shlomim, then we're reducing the time and the place and the people who can eat it, and yet Reb Shimon is allowing it. So the question is, why do we need to say, if it doesn't need to be an osham, it can be a shlomim, the name of osham zeh yehi osham tolui? Why can't he say that this osham, if it's not necessary to be for an osham of a mitzvah, then instead it should be an osham tolui? Now, usually we say that an osham tolui can be brought only if you have an actual case where a person is not sure if he did an avera. However, Rabbi Eliezer says in Masechta Krisus that a person, if he wants, can bring an osham tolui whenever he wants. Because Rabbi Eliezer says a person can always consider it to himself, I may have done an Aveira, maybe I need to bring an Osham Tolui, maybe I need to bring a Chatas, and the case of maybe I need to bring a Chatas triggers that he could bring an Osham Tolui. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, unlike all Ashamas, all other Ashamas, which can be brought only when you're required an Osham Tolui, you can bring voluntarily. So why doesn't he do that over here? And then at least that'll forestall the problem of Mevi'in Kodshim Lebeis Apsol, because an Osham Vada and an Osham Mitzvah and an Osham Tolui have pretty much much exactly the same dinim, but they have exactly the same dinim as far as who eats them and where they're eaten and the time in which they can be eaten. And that way, even the Chachamim won't have a problem with it. So why don't we do that? And would that mean, given that we didn't give that answer, Shmamina Mantana the Polygaledin of Eliezer of Shimon, who that would therefore that would tell us that specifically the Tana who argues with Rabbi Eliezer on that and says you cannot bring an Oshem Toli whenever you want, then that would specifically have to be Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, that's why we can't use that answer, because Rabbi Shimon himself, following his own shitta, would say that you can't bring an Oshem Toli voluntarily. So Amalei, so Ravina answers him, Torah, you who know so much, where is the Torah of a great person like Torah, where is the Torah of a great person like you? Imri b'dichri mechalfi lach. You seem to have mixed up lambs with rams, because the Oshem of Metzora is a lamb, which is within a year old. The Asham, or the Oshem Toloi is a ram that's in its second year. So you're mixing them up. You're thinking that you could have this animal and bring it, and then you're bringing in the name of Rav Huna bar Tachlifa a question that you should be able to make a tonight that this animal is going to be either an Asham Metzora or an Asham Tolui, but they're two different ages of animals. One is a lamb under a year old, and the other is a ram in its second year. So it won't work. So that doesn't show that Rav Shimon necessarily is disagreeing with Rav Eliezer. It could be Rav Shimon is saying that's not an alternative, because what kind of animal would you bring? Now, what was Rav Chumi thinking? Doesn't he in fact realize that distinction? So the Ponim Meiris brings in the name of his brother. It's also brought in the name of Rav Moshe. It's also brought in the Chiddushim of Rav Moshe Leib Sosever. Based on other Gemaras, it comes out like this. When we talk about that a korban, that certain korbanos have to be under a year old, and some of them over a year old, when does the clock begin? It doesn't begin the day the animal is born, because on the day the animal is born, you can't bring it as a korban anyway. So the Gemaras is based on other Gemaras. It comes out that it depends. It depends. The minimum age you can bring a korban is 8 days old. But in most korbanos, you shouldn't bring them until the animal is at least 30 days old. But yeah, then you can bring them after 8 days old, but l'chatchila you should wait till 30 days. But then there are some korbanos that you can bring l'chatchila when they're 8 days old. So now the Asham Nozir, the Asham Metzora rather, versus the Oshem Toloi. If according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can bring an Oshem Toloi voluntarily, then there would be that difference. When it comes to an obligatory korban, you start counting from the 30th day. When it comes to a voluntary korban, you start counting from the 8th day. So now you bring the animal when it's a little over a year old, but it's a year and 8 days, or a year and 3 weeks, either way. So relative to an Oshem Vadei, we're going to count for it's going to be considered relative to the Asham Metzora. It'll be counted. You count from the 30th day. Therefore, it's not quite a year since then yet. And therefore, you can bring it. Whereas as far as an Oshem Toli, if you can bring an Oshem Toli voluntarily, it's already past a year since its 8th day. And therefore, it would count as an Oshem Toloi, which has to be a ram. So that way, you could make it work out. However, Ravina still objects to him. The fact is that then you have to get into the point that there is a transitional stage between the lamb and the ram, which is called a palgus or pilgus. We'll learn about it in Cholin, and we'll learn about it in Menachos, Bez Hashem, that the rule is to be considered a lamb, to be within its first year, it's only within the first 12 months, wherever you count the first 12 months from the 8th day or the 30th day, as the case may be. But in any case, then you have a one month period in the animal's life where it's neither a lamb nor a ram, and it's called a palgus. And at that point, you can't bring it as either one. You're not yotze either one to bring it as a korban. So therefore, Ravina says, Rechumi, you're forgetting that point. Even if you were to say, like you say, there was a time when it can be considered within its first year as far as an obligatory korban, and already within its second year as far as a voluntary korban. But then you're in that one transitional month when it's a palgus, and it's not going to work anyway. That's one explanation. There's also an explanation in from the Koich of Miyakov That says another point as well is maybe Daraisa would be fine to bring an Oshem Talui from a younger animal, but Darabanan, it has to be, maybe the whole concept that an Oshem Talui has to be a ram over a year old, or over 13 months old, to be exact, is Darabanan. The fact is, Darabanan, it has to be that way, and therefore, how can you do that to be, how could you be over on that Din Darabanan over here? And therefore, he says that you're mixing them up, because Darabanan, an Oshem Talui has to be a ram. Okay, so that option is not available, and therefore there was no choice for Reb Shimon to say that you should bring the korban and have and make a tnai that if it's necessary as an oshem, then it'll be an oshem, and if not, then it'll be a shlomim. Yes, it means mevi'in kodshim lebeis hapsul, but we really have no alternative because we do have to have this person be able to bring his korbanos somehow, otherwise he's going to remain a suffolk mitzvah forever and never be able to enter the beis mikdash or eat kodshim. And by the way, even though usually we say the halacha is not like Reb Shimon, you're not allowed to be in kodshim leveis hapsul. So in the case of our Mishnah, where the korbanos got mixed up, then in fact the halacha will be like the chachamim. Don't bring them and make tznoyim and all that. Rather just wait until they develop a mumen and sell them and use the money for other korbanos. When it comes to the suffolk nazir, that with the suffolk mitzvah, the halacha is in fact like Reb Shimon, or the Rambam passes like Reb Shimon, precisely because of the Gemara says tikkuni gavra shiny. It's different when we need in order to fix up the person to make it possible for him to bring his korbanos. So therefore, we will bend the rules a little bit and allow us to do such things and make a tnai, even though it means potentially shortening the time in which the korban can be eaten. Mishnah says, Evrei chatas shenisarvu be'evrei oila. If limbs of a chatas, which are supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim, are mixed up with limbs of an oila, which are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer oimer, yitim l'mayla. Rabbi Eliezer says, put them all on the Mizbeach. V'royani es psar chatas m'lamayla kilo hein eitzim. And we will consider that we will consider the meat of the chatas that was placed on the Mizbeach. We're here, where we learned yesterday, and we're going to learn again in the Gemara now, that ordinarily something that is supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim is not supposed to be placed on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, we can consider that meat of the Chatas, Kila, and Eitzim, as though it's wood, and therefore he's not over on that issue. Achronim discussed the question. Does it mean he has to have that specifically in mind? I am bringing up these pieces, that if they're not the pieces of the Ola, then they should be for firewood, or does he not have anything particular in mind, and he puts them there generically, not specifically having in mind, l'shem reach nechoyach. So, different achronim discuss possibilities as far as that. The chum say nothing doing. There's none of this business of having in mind that it's firewood. To ubat tsurasan, you have to leave them until their tsura, until their form is ruined. What that means is now in a number of other places in Shas, Rashi explains that ibur tsura means that you have to leave them overnight. Meaning, in other words, at that point it becomes noiser, and now you have to burn it anyway. So that the word tuba tsurase literally means its form should change. So in other words, what happens is you leave it out unrefrigerated overnight. It's going to start spoiling a little bit, but more to the point, it's not so much that it's spoiled, it became noiser. On the other hand, the Rambam actually says flat out that it means that it should get moldy or rotted or whatever. So then in that case, but tsurase would mean not necessarily that. So it wouldn't necessarily mean only over one night. It will depend. It depends what time of year it is. Depending on the different conditions, it may take longer than one night for ibur tsura. Whatever the case, the chum say you have to. In general, we have sometimes we have a korban as possible, and you can just go burn it right away on the spot. But sometimes you have where a korban is not so possible, as in this case over here. The fact is, whichever is in the mixture is the oila is not possible at all. You have to burn it on the mizbeach. We just don't know which is which. So in cases like that, you require ibur tsura. So the chum say this is an example of that. You're going to need ibur tsura, however we define it, and then the yetzel, the reis ha-seifa, and then we'll take them out to be burnt in the place when Noiser and things like that are burnt. We're going to have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have in more detail about that, the various places in and around the Beis Hamikdash where the burnt Pasul HaKadoshim. But in this case, again, because it wasn't 100% Pasul, it's only a Suffolk, so therefore we have to wait until Ibur Tzura, until there's Lina overnight when it becomes Noiser, according to Rashi, or until it actually spoils and rots, according to the Rambam, and then we take it over there and burn it. But none of this business of what Rabbi Eliezer says of putting it on the Mizbeach and burning it l'shem Eitzim, the Chum do not accept that possibility. Well, the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that such a thing would be possible? And the answer is Omakra, Ve'elam Mizbeach, as we talked about yesterday, Ve'elam Mizbeach l'yalu l'reach nichoyach. The Pasuk says that the Pasuk says you can't put Seor and Dvash on the Mizbeach, and also it's also that Pasuk that says that you can't bring Seor and Dvash, it also says the words Loisaktudu Menu, and that was where we learned, as we discussed yesterday, Kol Shemin Menu La'ishim, when you're from that word Loisaktudu Menu, we learned that you have anything where part of it is meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. For example, the Emurim of a Korban, or the Korimitz of a Mincha, anything that's left over after that, then there's an Isser of Loisaktudu, do not brun it on the Mizbeach. So we learned two things from that pasuk: not to bring Seor and Dvash, and not to bring leftover parts of a korban on the Mizbeach. But then it says, "Ve'al Mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoyach." Do not bring them up on the Mizbeach as a sweet fragrance for Hashem. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, Reach Nechoyach means Nachas Ruach HaFanesh Shamauti V'Nasi Ratzoni. Hashem says, "I take pleasure in the fact that I commanded, and my will is being done." Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer learns from that. Why does it have to say L'reach Nichoyach? L'reach Nichoyach Yatamala. You're not allowed to offer them on the Mizbeach, having in mind that it's for Reach Nichoyach, that's for a korban. Avalatamala L'shem Eitzim, but you would be allowed to put them on the Mizbeach as firewood. That would apply to both of them, Seor and Dvash, and Shirayim of a korban. Well, therefore, so Rabbi Eliezer says, well, that's where I get that you could have in mind that they're Eitzim. V'Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon answer back to that? Because the pasuk says korban reishis takrivu oisam l'Hashem. You know what? We should probably read the two pesukim back to back, and then that way we'll understand the nuances that we're talking about over here. The pasuk says kol mincha shetakrivu l'Hashem. Any mincha that you offer to Hashem, lo yase'osa chometz. It should not be made chometz. Which from we learn from that, by the way, that not only before the chometz, but even after the chometz is done, even after the kmitza is done, and it's offered on the mizbeach, when the kohenim eat the shirayim, they're not allowed to make it chometz. The pasuk continues, Ki chol se'or v'chol dvash lo yisaktiru mimenu isha l'Hashem, because any se'or and any honey, you're not allowed to bring from it a korban to Hashem. So we learn two things from that pasuk. Number one, from the second half of that pasuk. Number one, that you can't bring se'or or dvash. And number two, that you can't bring mimenu anything where part of it was brought on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring the rest of it on the Mizbeach. The next pasuk continues, Korban reishas takrivu oisam l'Hashem. You can bring them as a first korban to Hashem, namely you have bikurim, which are fruit that contain sweetness in them, like dvash, and you have the shtei alechem, which are made of chometz. So you bring those as first offerings to Hashem. You don't actually bring them up onto the mizbeach. Ve'al mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoyach, but they should not be brought up onto the mizbeach for sweet smell for Hashem. So now the chachamim say the pasuk says oisam korban reishis takrivu oisam. So, which is referring back to Seor and Dvash. So what it's saying is, Seor and Dvash, you're not allowed to burn on the Mizbeach, but you do bring Seor and Dvash as Korbanos during part of the year, namely you bring Bikurim and the Shtei Alechem, respectively. But now, when it says, so Oysam, who Yatamala, that implies that Seor and Dvash, you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach, Avalatamala, Lashem Eitzim. Those are Chum say, fine, we agree that if you want to bring Seor and Dvash, and offer them on the Mizbeach, but not actually offer them, but rather burn them on the Mizbeach as firewood, then that's fine. Avo midiach rinaloi, but not anything else. When the Torah says loisaktiru mimenu, and we learn from that concept of that kol shemimenu laishin, that anything of which part of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, then there's an issur to burn the rest. So no, then you wouldn't even be able to do it. L'shem eitzim, and that includes limbs of the chatas. Therefore, the Chum say you have no basis from that pasuk to say that you should be able to take the limbs of the chatas and burn them on the Mizbeach, just in case they were, either they're avery oila or they're firewood, the Chum say, no, the pasuk is memayat that. V'Rabbi Eliezer. So what does Rabbi Eliezer answer back to that? He says Oisam. So he says Oisam who did Abayloch Kevesh Kamizbeach. He says on the contrary, the word Oisam by Sa'ur and Dvash is Hashem. The Torah is saying Hashem is saying in the Torah that with them I'm being marbe to you, kevesh kemizbeach, that the kevesh for that purpose, the ramp of the mizbeach, has the same din as the mizbeach itself. You're not allowed to bring them on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to bring them on the kevesh either. Aval midiach rin aloy, but other, but, so therefore, so on the contrary, se'or and dvash, when you want to bring them as a korban, not only you're not allowed to bring them on the actual top surface of the mizbeach, but you're not even allowed to bring them on, you're not even allowed to bring them, on the ramp of the mizbeach and planning to offer them to Hashem there. But aval midiach rin aloy, but other things, no, you would allow, you would actually, there's no issur in that, you're not allowed to bring them on the mizbeach as reyach nechayach, you're allowed to bring them, l'shem eitzim on the mizbeach, but in addition, you would also be allowed to bring them, you would allowed to be bringing them on the kevesh. So you see, therefore, that there's no issur to bring them on the mizbeach l'shem eitzim, and even if you wanted to bring it l'shem a korban, you could do that on the kevesh, on the ramp of the mizbeach, even though, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the ramp has the dinim of the mizbeach for many purposes, but Rabbi Eliezer says that's what we're learning from the word oisam. Tosfos wonders where does Rabbi Eliezer get such an idea from that oisam shouldn't refer to all of them, and that whereas reyach nichoyach refers to all of them. So he says, because why would we be more machmir with shirayim than sa'ur and dvash? Why would we say that sa'ur and dvash you can't bring at all, and shirayim you're going to say you're going to be even more machmir and say you can't even bring them on the kevesh? So therefore he would say that when we're saying the kevesh is like the mizbeach, then that can only refer to sa'ur and dvash, which the pasuk is listing out explicitly and saying that you cannot bring those. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer would hold, and therefore he would say that that it is fine to bring them even on the mizbeach itself, any of them, l'shem eitzim. The Choit Nosan brings another point as well to explaining on Tosfos that Rabbi Eliezer says that the oisam should really go only on what we see from the pshat of the pasuk. So the fact that kevesh is like the mizbeach, we learn that from when it says the el mizbeach includes the kevesh as well, but that's not something poshut. That's not something in the pshat of the pasuk. So therefore, when the Torah says ki chol se'or v'chol dvash lo yisakturu mimenu, then it's more logical that we're going to say that then if the Torah is telling us that korban reishis takrivu oisam, you can bring only them, then it would mean, in other words, that you would say that the din, the miut, would apply only to what it says explicitly in the pasuk, and not what we're learning by Dirashis. Okay, v'rabbanan. And what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, Tauti Shmamina. In fact, you can learn both things from it. You can learn from the word Oisam itself. You can learn both things that the Kevesh is like the Mizbeach, and that applies only to Sa'ur and Dvash, but also the Din, that you're allowed to bring them up as firewood, would apply only to Sa'ur and Dvash, nothing else. So in fact, Tosfos says our sugya would go like an opinion in the Gemara and Menachos that if a person burns any of these things on the kevesh, then he's potter because he hasn't been over on that lav, because that lav wouldn't apply to the kevesh. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan over there in the Gemara says that he's chayev. So our Gemara is going like Rabbi Lazar and Menachos. Best Hashem, we'll learn how Rabbi Yochanan would deal with the matter. In any case, the Chum say you can learn both things from it. From Oisam, you can learn that Shirayim, you're not allowed to bring them on the Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to bring them on the Kevesh, and you're not allowed to bring them on the Mizbeach, even when it's only for firewood. Whereas again, Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can split things up, and you can say that we're learning only one thing and not the other, and therefore says that you would be able to bring them on the Mizbeach as firewood. Okay, so that explains where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham get their respective shittas. However, the Gemara points out, Masnissin deloiki haitana. Now, our Mishnah, then, is evidently not like the following Tana. The Tanya, our Mishnah had presented the Machloikas as follows, that Rabbi Eliezer is allowing you to bring these mixed up mixed up limbs on the Mizbeach and consider that the ones that are not Oila will be considered as firewood and the Chacham don't allow it based on the Jerushas of the Psukim that we just said. But now we have a different version of how their machalot this went. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Lo nechlaku Rabbi Eliezer v'chacham al evrei chachas from yisarvo be'evrei oila. Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham do not disagree about the case of our Mishnah where limbs of chachas got mixed up with limbs of oila sheyikruvu, that they can be offered on the Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Chachamim will allow such a thing and consider it as though it's wood. On the other hand, v'reveyev and nirba. On the other hand, if the limbs of the oila got mixed up with limbs of an animal that's completely possible as a korban, for example, an animal that was used for bestiality, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot offer such thing on a mizbeach. You can't even offer it, you can't even bring it on a mizbeach, having in mind that it's firewood. What is the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? According to Rabbi Yehuda, al evre oila tzmima shenis'avu be'evre balas mum. Suppose you have a korban that was brought as an oila, which is tamim, it's unblemished as it's supposed to be, and then you have another animal that was a bal mum and was mistakenly shechted and cut up, and now they got mixed up. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says you can put the whole mixture on the mizbeach, and we'll consider the ones that were the psar balas mum lamaila, and we'll consider the one from the bal mum that was placed on top on the mizbeach, kilo and etzim, as though it was wood, and the chum say you can't offer them. So according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machlokes, nothing to do with chatas versus oila. If that was the case, even the chachamim would allow them because they're both valid korbanos, after all. It's only a question of, fine, the limbs of the chatas are not supposed to be placed on the mizbeach, but fine, then we can apply this rule of l'shem eitzim, and even the chachamim will be fine with that, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But only when it comes to a tomim versus a balmum mixed together, then we're going to say that you can't do that because balmum doesn't belong on the mizbeach, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can do it and you can have in mind l'shem eitzim. Rashi points out that Rabbi Yehuda would be disagreeing not only on our Mishnah, but also on the next Mishnah, on Amud Beis, where we're going to be talking about exactly that, cases of Eivorim of Tzmimim mixed up with Eivorim of Balei Mumin, where we're going to have a Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim on the subject. So Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda would be arguing on that as well. Sachronim discussed why we need to say that. Could we maybe say that the next Mishnah does in fact work out according to Rabbi Yehuda as well? In any case, Rabbi Yehuda is definitely arguing with our Mishnah. In the next Mishnah, when Rabbi Eliezer says that if some of the heads were already offered, then you can offer the rest, no problem. And the Chum say that no, we have to all burn them. So according to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on that also, and saying that even the Chachamim would allow you to offer them on the Mizbeach as firewood, just not as a korban, and then Achronim discuss that and say that maybe is that so, or can we make that next Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yehuda and draw a distinction between whether when one of them was actually offered already, maybe then Rabbi Eliezer is allowing them, you don't even need to be the Shem Eitzim, and the Chachamim are going to disagree. Anyway, the point is that we see that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, that he allows it. When it's two kosher korbanos mixed together, and he allows it l'shem eitzim, even when it's a tom and bal mum, he doesn't allow it. On the other hand, we said when the mixed up animal in there was a reveya v'nirba. So the question is, maishna reveya v'nirba l'chazu? Why is it that with a reveya v'nirba it's not suitable, and you can't bring it on the mizbeach at all, even according to him, and you can't even bring it as firewood? It's not suitable as a korban because a reveya v'nirba is possible as a korban. Balas mum nami l'chazu? Well, a bal mum is not suitable as a korban either. What's the difference? And the answer is Amar Rav Huna bedukin shabayin, because we're not talking about where it was a major mum. We're talking about where it was a more minor kind of mum. For example, it had a dukin in the eye. Dukin literally means a curtain. So it means some kind of membrane over. It means either like a membrane that grows over the eye, or it means a cataract or something like that. In any case, it's a mum. It may not even be a permanent mum. It may only be a temporary thing. But in any case, right now, it's a mum. You can't bring it as a korban. But nevertheless, Valibba did Abakiva, it would follow the opinion of Abakiva to Omar, where he says in the next parak, in Olu Lo Yerudu, that this is one of those examples where if something was placed on the Mizbeach, then B'dievet, we leave it there. The Gemara later on explains that the reason is because Rav Akiva holds, since by a bird such a thing would not be considered a mum at all, because by birds we learned earlier in the Masechta that all that the only thing that's that passes them is mechuser aver, where it's actually lacking a limb or a limb is completely non-functional, not like this. So since by a bird such a thing is not considered a mum, then by an animal, even though it is a mum and you can't bring it as a korban, nevertheless, if it went on the mizbeach b'dieved, we would leave it over there. So we see that Rav Akiva holds that minor movement like that is still kind of belongs to the Mizbeach. Tosfos wonders why we always use Dukin Shabayin as the example of that, and we have the example also in the story of the Churban and the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, where he made a mum in the according to one version in the lip and according to the other version in the eyelid. So why do we always pick those two as examples? Or why in the Gemara do we always pick the eye as an example of a minor mum? Whatever the case, the point is we see that kind of thing while it is a moment, Rabbi Akiva agrees, you can't bring such an animal as a korban, he holds that if it was placed on the Mizbeach, but the Yevet is kosher, so Rabbi Eliezer would be following the same logic, and therefore say that if you put the limbs of the Baal, so therefore Rabbi Eliezer would say that you could put the limbs of the Baal Mum on the Mizbeach, and have in mind that it should be the Shem Eitzim. Well, the question is, Eimer Damer Rabbi Akiva di Ovad. Again, Rabbi Akiva would say such a thing. B'di Eved, if he placed them on the Mizbeach, you don't take them off. L'chatchila mi Omer. Would Rabbi Akiva say that l'chatchila you can put them on the Mizbeach? So why would Rabbi Eliezer be allowing us to put the limbs of the Baal Mum on the Mizbeach and then put them that in case these were the limbs of the Baal Mum, because we don't know because they got mixed up with limbs of a town, and say that it's allowed, the Shem Eitzim? So then what's the difference? Why would if we're allowing such a thing, even the Hatchila, we're allowing such a thing, so even Rabbi Akiva is only talking about if it was on the Mizbeach, but here you're talking about if you want to put it on the Mizbeach Hatchila, who says that Rabbi Akiva would allow such a thing, and say that it's L'shem Eitzim. Chok Nosan discusses that actually, maybe Rabbi Akiva allows it, maybe Rabbi Akiva wouldn't allow the Shem Eitzim because only when they're mixed together. But here, so here it was mixed together. Maybe Rabbi Akiva would allow it, in fact, and therefore, so we could say that Rabbi Yezer holds like Rabbi Akiva. So the Chok Nosan says, the Gemara could have given that answer, but in any case, it's a bit of a doichik. So therefore, the Gemara would rather discuss what Rav Huna is saying and then see if we can find a better answer. So the answer is Amar Papa Hachamayskin Tensha Olu Al Gabe Kevish. So the Papa said, you know what you're talking about over here? The limbs were already placed on the Kevish. One thing we should realize, by the way, is when an Ola is brought, you take the oil, you shecht it, you sprinkle the blood, etc. Then, after you cut it up into pieces, you take all those pieces and you put them, the kohenim would arrange them on the kevesh. They would salt them, and they would leave them for a while for the salt to do its work, to draw out more of the blood, and then afterwards they would take them and throw them onto the fire of the mizbeach. So now you're talking about that they were in fact already placed on the kevesh. Now, for this purpose, we're going to consider the kevesh like the mizbeach. We talked about on Oman Aleph that to some extent the kevesh is not entirely considered like the mizbeach. We brought Rabbi Eliezer's drasha in that connection, but for many purposes it is considered like the mizbeach. We talked about it even earlier in the Masechta as far as if blood was sprinkled on the kevesh, for example. And the same way, when we talk about that im olu lo yodu, that rule of im olu lo yodu applies not only to the mizbeach itself, but also to the kevesh. So once they were placed on the kevesh, then therefore we can bring them up onto the mizbeach and burn them over there and have in mind the L'shem Eitzim. Well, the Gemara says, Yehochi afilu be'inayu. Well, then the same thing should apply even if they're by themselves, then you should be allowed because once they were already on the Kevesh, and Im Olu Lo Yodu. And yet, Rabbi Eliezer is saying his din only if they were mixed together with limbs of a Tumim. Why would that be? So, for that matter, the Ponim Me'iris adds in another point as well. The Gemara could have asked that at this point you could already do even L'Reyach Nichoyach. You could have in mind B'di'evet as a korban because again, Olu Lo Yehudu. So why is Rabbi Eliezer saying that it has to be only when it's mixed with a Tamim and only when it's L'Shem Eitzim? Why is that necessary? So the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. El time of the Rabbi Eliezer, rather we have to say Rabbi Eliezer's reason why he allows it in this case, not on the basis of Im Olo Lo Yerdu, because Miyat Rachmana, the Torah gives us a meal. When it talks about that you're not allowed to bring Bale Mumim as a korban, so it says, the pasuk says mum bom. There's a mum in them. So we learn from that only when they're by themselves. Hu de la yiratzu. So only when only when there's a mum in them, meaning they're standing by themselves and they have a mum. The Gemara really Shitim Kubetza says the Gemara repeats mum bom, and we learn from that mum bom hu de la yiratzu. Only when there's a mum in them. Only when we know that there's a mum in them. Lo yiratzu, then they're not who de lo yiratzu, then they're not acceptable to be brought as a korban. Ha'ai de taruvas yiratzu, implying, but if they're mixed in with something else, then they'll be acceptable. Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta points out that if you had one Baal Mum was mixed with two Tmimim or more, then you wouldn't need that anyway. Then you're going to have Bittul Beroiv on a Daraisa level. Only when you have one mixed with one, where there's no Bittul possible, then you need this Pasuk. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that still it's acceptable B'di'evet. V'Rabbanan, whereas Rabbanan answered back, no, Mum Bum Hu D'Lo Yiratzu. No, that Pasuk is just teaching you, as long as the Mum is in them, then they're not acceptable for a Korban. Ha'ova Mumum, but if the Mum is healed, Yiratzu, then they're accepted, and we don't say Baal Lechayim Nidchin. Especially because we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had the whole discussion of whether we say Baal Lechayim Nidchin or not, where we said Rabbi Yochanan holds that even living animals can be Nidcha. But the point is that here, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that this is an exception. An animal that had a mum and then was healed is not considered nidcha anymore, and therefore you can use it for a korban. And according to the Chum, that's what you learn from that pasuk. Tosfos points out that. We need to be told that, otherwise we already have a klal of krat anyway that a klal of krat that teaches us this point, but we also need the fact is we would have thought that klal of krat is very nice, but the fact is once the korban is nidcha, then it can't be nira, it can't be acceptable again, and therefore we need to be told that it's not so. So what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? Where does he learn that din from? He says, Mi bum bahem, because the Torah says ki mashchosam bum, and instead it says ki mashchosam bahem. So ki mashchosam bahem mum bum is the phrasing in the pasuk. So because it says bahem from the extra hay, we can learn that once the mum goes away, then the animal is kosher for a korban. So he can learn from that, and then he has the words mum bom available for his drasha, that it means only when they're by themselves and not mixed with something else. The Rabbanan answer to that, bom bahem lo daushi, they don't learn such a thing. They say that it's normal for the Torah to use the word bahem and rather than bom, and we can't learn anything specific from that. Tosfos gets into a discussion over here of places where we do daushin and don't daushin, such things, and why we would say over here that the Chum don't accept that drasha, but in other places they do seem to accept such drashas. There is a different girsa. The Shittim Kubetzis gives a different girsa that the pasuk is mum bom. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're daushening from both, from the word bahem and from the word bum. So from bahem, you're learning from mashchosam bahem, you're learning that if the mum goes away, then it's acceptable. And from mum bum, we learn only when they're by themselves. But then in that case, why wouldn't there? Then you have one whole word that's extra. Why wouldn't the chum daushen it? So then he says that maybe the chum would hold that from that we learn, from the extra word, we learn that only when it comes to a mum, then we would say that it can be acceptable after the fact, but the other kinds of things that make it nidcha make it completely possible, and that's it. And then Rabbi Eliezer would learn that point from the extra hay, and would learn that from the extra hay, and the chum say you don't doubt in the extra hay. Whatever the case, the point is, That then, so that's where Rabbi Eliezer gets this point of his, that when the Baal Mum is mixed together with a Tumim and you can't tell which is which, then you can offer it and it's not violating the usual rule of bringing Baal Mum. So nothing to do with Olu Yerudu, but rather the point that the Torah itself is implying to us with this extra word, whether it's an extra word or extra letter, that you can do it in this case. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, if Rabbi Eliezer is darshaning from that pasuk, what does he mean, Roya? What does he mean? You have to consider it as though it was firewood. Harachmana Akshere, according to him, the Torah is saying that you can even bring it, the Reyach Nichoyach, because you have this mixture. So why does he need to say Royan Oysan Ke'ilu, why does he have to say Royan Oysan Ke'ilu in Eitzim? And the answer is L'divreihem Kamal, the Rabbi Eliezer, you're right, is not saying that he himself holds it has to be the Shem Eitzim. He's saying according to you, Chachamim. He's saying, really, D, as far as I'm concerned, Rachmana actually. The Torah says it's kosher even then that because we learn from the word mumbam, L'didchu, but you disagree with me and you say that you can't bring them when they're mixed together. Oduli mi of sabalas mumka eitzim dami. At least you should agree with me that you can treat it like firewood, and at least you'll be able to bring it on the curb, on the Mizbeach, no matter what, midi to have a sar chatas, the same way as it would be with the meat of a chatas, as we just said at the bottom of Amar Aleph, that we're dealing here within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Rabbi Yehuda, who holds in the Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim will allow you to bring it on his back a chatas mixed with an oila. The problem is only when it's a baal mum. Well, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim allow you to bring the meat of a chatas, even though usually you're not allowed to. But you can do it l'shem eitzim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, then why shouldn't it be the same with a baal mum? At least you should agree with me on that. Achronim discussed actually the point. Wait, Rabbi Eliezer himself says that you can't do by Reveya Venirba, only because he has this limud from the pasuk for baalim mumim. So he agrees that Reveya Venirba you can't bring l'shem eitzim. So why does he think the chum have to agree with him on baalim mumim? So the Tzoyin Kodshim points out that after all, at least the Revea Venirba is forever going to be Osir, a Baal Mum conceivably could be healed, and then it'll be Mutter as a Korban, so therefore, Sir Rabbi Eliezer is saying that at least, even fine, they still have a Mum, you can't bring them as a Korban, but nevertheless, it should be L'shem Eitzim, it should be a little closer to a Chatas in that regard. Okay, and then there are different other achronim discuss different other possibilities of why Rabbi Eliezer would think the Chachamim would agree with that. But Rabbanan, where's the Rabbanan answer back? And in fact, Tosfos says just that. Tosfos says Rabbi Eliezer himself doesn't worry about that. We see that he doesn't think that way himself. The fact is, he needs a pasuk to allow the Baal Mum, but he's asking according to the Chachamim, according to your svara, why shouldn't it be allowed? As in fact, the Gemara will often do that kind of thing. So the Rabbanan answer back, Chacham Isi, the difference is, Baal Mum are disgusting because they're possible to bring as a korban, so therefore don't even bring them a Shem Eitzin. Chosam Lema Isi, with a Chatas, not that it's disgusting. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to burn the Shirayim on the Mizbeach, but there's nothing disgusting about it that should otherwise prevent that, so therefore if you want to do the Shem Eitzin, if you're going to do the Shem Eitzin because there was a mixture, then fine, Bidiyevit will allow it. Okay. Mishnah says, Evorim be'evorim, what happens if limbs of one korban get mixed up? What happens if limbs of korbanos of many korbanos oila got mixed up with limbs of bali mumim, or one bal mum, in other words, so we're talking about one bal mum, as we're going to see because of the numbers that we're using in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im korav roish echad mehen. Rabbi Eliezer says, and we discussed this earlier in the parak in a little detail. If the head of one of them was already offered, yikruvu kol harosh, and then you can offer the rest of the heads, because then we can attribute that the one head that was already offered is the one of the baal mum, and therefore the rest of them are the ones that are tamim, and therefore we're good. So that requires us to say therefore that it was one baal mum. If it was more than one baal mum, we might then that might not work. Similarly, kra'ayim shal echad mehem. Similarly, if the legs of one of them were offered, yikruvu kol kra'ayim, then you can bring the rest of the legs, because again, with each type of body part, says Rabbi Eliezer, you can assume each time the one that we already offered on the Mizbeach, before we realized there was a problem, we'll consider that one to have been the one that was also, and the rest of them are mutter. I mean the chum say on the contrary, for the korva kulin chutz me'echad mehen, even if all of them except for one of them have been offered already, so you only have one head or one set of legs left, nevertheless, yetzel v'esa seifa, you have to take it out and burn it, because no, we cannot assume that the one that was offered on the mizbeach is the one that was osur. So therefore, you can't do that. So therefore, even if there's only one left, we have to say, what if that one is the Baal Mum, and therefore we take it and burn it in the place where Posel or Korbanos are burnt, and not bring it on the Mizbeach. And again, they're not going to say, as we just said before, they're not going to say that you can bring it L'shem Eitzim, because they don't hold to that point. So Tosfos does point out that the ones that were already on the Mizbeach, fine, Olu Lo Yodu. So therefore they'll say, even though they were just discussing with Rabbi Eliezer and saying that you cannot bring a Vodim of Baalim Mum on the Mizbeach, they will at least agree, like Rabbi Akiva had said before, Im Olu Lo Yodu, that once they're on the Mizbeach, we're not going to take them off from there. But to bring them up there, L'shem Eitzim, we wouldn't allow, So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo hikshu Rabbi Eliezer ela shnayim shnayim. Rabbi Eliezer would allow this, that you can bring the rest of them as korbanos only when you're offering them two at a time. Because then every time you bring them, at least one of them is definitely good, because there was only one Baal Mum mixed in over here. So now you're able to say, well, one of them is definitely good, and therefore we can allow ourselves to assume that the other one is also good. But not if you bring them one at a time. That's according to Rashi's explanation. The Rambam has a different explanation, which means that according to the Rambam, what it is that only when you already brought at least two heads or two legs, whatever, then Rabbi Eliezer will allow it, because then already we have two heads were brought, and then already we have more reason to say that the postal one was one of the ones that was already brought. In addition, also, the question is, what happens if you have more than one Baal Mum mixed in over here? The Shach actually says, let's say, for example, you have two Baal Mum mixed in there. The Shach says you would actually need to bring four at a time, because it wouldn't be just enough to do three at a time. You definitely can't do two at a time then, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, because what if those two are both from the Baal Mum? But you can't do three either, because you still have to have the ability, you still have to have you have to have at least two pieces of definite heter, and since we have two Baal Mum that were mixed in over here, then the Shach says in Shulchan Aruch that you would have to have four in that case. The Chazon Ish actually disagrees and says that no, you don't need that. It's enough to have three. You might have two that are Isser, as long as you have at least one that's heter that you're bringing along with them, then that would be fine. But that's when you had two Baal Mum here. When you only had one Baal Mum, then we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer would allow two at a time, according to Rashi, or he would allow it if two were already brought, according to the Rambam. But not echad echad, but not one at a time. The Gemara says, "Must Rabbi Yemi." Rabbi Yemi says, "I have a contradiction." The chum say at the end of our Mishnah for the korva kulin chutz me'echad mehen, even if all of them were offered except for one of them, yetzel v'esa seifa, that one has to be taken out to be burnt. So it sounds like, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would allow if there's only one left, then you can offer it. And the Chum are saying that not, whereas according to what Rabbi Lazar is saying, you have to bring them two at a time, and if there's one left at the end, even Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow it. How does that work? So Rabbi Yumi Bar Tachlifa, which is evidently different than Rabbi Yumi Plain, answers him, Asver Allah, let me explain to you, my echad zug echad. When the Chum say echad, they mean there's only one pair left. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, such a thing would be allowed to bring as a korban, and according to the Chachamim, not. But you're right, if there's only one, but in fact, the Mishnah is not necessarily saying that if there's only one left that you can bring it, and therefore we can still uphold what Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, is saying, an explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, that in fact it would be allowed, that if there's only one, or in general, to bring one at a time, even Rabbi Eliezer would not allow that, because what if any time you're bringing one, that one is the Baal Mum, and there's no time to go together with it.